2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, a recent survey showed that more than a third of men aged 16 to 24 believe that someone who is assaulted while under the influence of drugs or alcohol is partially responsible. This was quite a different view to the women and even older men who were surveyed. And with me now to talk about this is Rachel Murrow, the CEO of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Rachel, thank you so much for coming in to us this morning.
Thanks, Laura.
Rachel, obviously enough we want to talk about that survey because that's quite a staggering stat. And what are the main findings that were in the survey?
Yeah, we were really quite shocked at some of the findings, like particularly amongst that cohort of young men. Mm-hmm. I suppose the first thing to say is that for the most part, the Irish public are really supportive of people who've been affected by sexual violence, people who've experienced it, maybe have a friend or family member. They know what it is and it's of high concern to them. So we were really pleased with the headline findings of the survey. But then there were that kind of that undercurrent that within that particular cohort that we suspected would probably come up, but we were surprised at that high level that 3 in 10 men under 24 have like really quite harmful views.
Because it was 36%, which is incredibly high. And it's just, I suppose I was quite baffled as well when I saw it, because I just didn't think that that was the case. Why is it though that older men seem to be more understanding than the younger generation?
I suppose maybe their dads themselves, they might have known somebody who's been affected by sexual violence, maybe who's spoken about it. When you look at the people who've been affected by sexual violence who are under 24, we know that around 3 in 10 people, men and women, who've experienced sexual violence amongst that age group have experienced it within the last 12 months. So there's a lot of sexual violence, rape, sexual assault happening amongst that age group. What we really want to make sure is that people who are young, have experienced sexual violence, feel comfortable about talking about it to their friends and family.
What is the role of the media and social media when they're reporting these topics?
People who responded to the survey really feel that the media has a very important part to play, and they see it has value in giving survivors of sexual violence a platform maybe to destigmatise sexual violence, to talk about it, to put the blame in the hands of the perpetrator rather than on them, and to challenge some of the rape myths that are out there. So they really see that talking about this issue is very important.
Yeah. Then moving on, I suppose, because like there's media and social media, but how important is it to address these kind of findings in schools?
It's so important. When you look at those high levels of victim blaming amongst men aged under 24, they're already holding these views by the time they leave school. So something is happening, probably in their teenage years, but possibly even younger than that. And what we want to make sure happens is that they're equipped to maybe challenge some of the information that is coming to them, and that parents are comfortable having conversations. I mean, look, as a nation, we all sat down and watched Adolescence. And I think that everybody was perhaps shocked at what they heard there. But in Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, we're seeing the downstream effects of that type of activity. We deal with it every single day. We are seeing increased levels of physical violence amongst our clients. So we've been feeling that for some years, and we really feel that it's now high time. In fact, it's beyond time that action's taken.
And obviously there's ways to do this in schools that are like age appropriate, but it's all about starting the conversation around consent and around that if somebody has been sexually assaulted, that it's not their fault ever, full stop.
Full stop. And I think that for too long, we've felt that, like, even as a young girl, you're told from a really early age, you know, what you dress like is important, who you're
with. What were you wearing?
What were you wearing? Like, were you drinking? Were you taking drugs? And so we're limiting our own freedoms to try and stop being raped or stop sexual violence happening to us. But it's never us. It can never be us, because the actions are taken by someone else, and it's their choice to, you know, use us in the way that gives them pleasure, and that's not okay, and we really need to change the narrative around that.
Some of the stats as well in the survey, one of them I think that really shocked me was the fact that men aged between 16 and 24 are 5 times more likely than men who are aged 15 to 64 to say that you should only believe someone has been sexually assaulted if they report it to the Gardaí. I just think that's absolutely bizarre. Like, it's yeah. so mad that unless you have reported it to the Gardaí, then we can't believe you.
Yeah, it's like that we need the validation of An Garda Síochána yeah. to know whether we should believe someone or not. Whereas, in fact, if we were a truly supportive society, then women and men would feel really comfortable about saying, this is something that happened to me, mm-hmm. and with the expectation that they'd then be believed. Yeah. And I think that there is that barrier to disclosure that we as a society have created, that we don't feel safe about disclosing our experience. And when you see statistics like that you have to have gone to the Gardaí, and there's other parts of the research show that other people think that you have to have actually got a guilty verdict in yes. court, that's only a tiny, tiny, tiny proportion of the people who've been affected by sexual violence who, first of all, who report, but then the number of people who get a guilty verdict is much smaller. So I suppose it doesn't give the full wide lens of sexual violence in the country if you were just to believe those people.
Also, just to point out before we go any further in this conversation, you can get advice on rt.ie/helplines, and there is a 24-hour helpline on the Dublin Race Crisis Centre of 1-800-77-8888, which is a national helpline, because obviously I know this could be very triggering for a lot of people listening. I just want to stick with the survey for a second as well, because 2/3 of young men don't take the victim blaming approach. How can they help in this scenario?
That's really important. And that's why I was keen to start off by saying that at a population level, we yeah. really support victims of sexual violence. And young men, like, I really don't believe in pointing the finger and saying that, you know, you're the cause of this, because they're not. I think that we as a society have perhaps failed them, and that we haven't been out of the traps fast enough. As I said, Dublin Rape Crisis Centre has been talking about this problem for a number of years. Yep. The writing has been on the wall and not enough has happened. So I think that we, as you said, Laura, we really need to focus on what's happening in schools. We need to focus on whether the regulation is strong enough, that the recommender algorithms that are pushing this content at boys, particularly young men, they're not necessarily seeking it out.
No.
But there is that commercial interest there that's fueling the content that's been given to them. And I think we need to ask a question as a society, is this what we want for our young boys? Because not only is it not good for women and girls, it's really bad for men. And to go back to your question about what can those two-thirds of mm-hmm. men do who really are very supportive of people being affected by sexual violence, I think that we don't want them to be bystanders. We really want them to be allies. We yeah. want them to call out all that negative chat in the WhatsApp groups. We want them to, you know, maybe call up a friend who's sharing images on Snap that aren't appropriate, that maybe hasn't got consent to share, and to give them a different view of the world, and to, like, every person in Ireland knows a woman or girl probably who's been affected by sexual violence. And that's what this research shows, is that most of us know somebody who's yeah. been affected by this issue. And to maybe, as I said, to just show solidarity, show empathy, and be the person who somebody who has experienced sexual violence, be the person they can talk to, and direct them to get help. And as you said, Laura, the National Rape Crisis Helpline is open 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. 365 days a year. You can call us anytime.
The survey as well, like, what kind of questions were in this survey that these are the findings that you guys got?
So we looked at public perceptions, like, as a nation, what does Ireland think about mm. sexual violence? We looked at the barriers that people might have experienced in coming forward, the reasons why they didn't come forward. We looked at the court system, and how people perceive that journey through the courts and justice more generally. And then as we've talked about, we've gone through, like, what people think about victims of sexual violence. Yeah. And that was, like, those are really, really hard questions. They were actually hard for us to ask, because, you know, in part, we almost didn't want to know the answers, because survivors of sexual violence have been telling us for years and years that they haven't felt a huge amount of support. They haven't felt believed. They've been blamed. They've been shamed. But you have to shine a light on these things, so that you can move forward and so that you can be solution focused.
Well, so that the actual conversations can begin, I think, is a huge thing. And you need to stay having these conversations with your peers and with your, you know, the young people who are in your life, both male and female. And, you know, I do want to focus back on the fact that 2/3 of young men don't take this approach as well. And that I think we're really lucky that the Gen Z generation that are coming up are much better at actually speaking to each other. You know, they aren't really bandwagoners to a point. So that is kind of a bit reassuring that, you know, those conversations can happen if we just be like, hey, maybe if you can just be like, that actually isn't cool. You know, a bit more confidence in it. When the survey asked, did people feel safe? What did the response tell you?
There was such a difference between men and women. So 85% of men feel safe, but fewer than one in two women feel safe. And I think that it goes back to what we were saying earlier about from a really young age, girls and women are actually told the world isn't safe. You know, we're told to control our behaviours because there is this just amorphous threat around us. And I think that that feeds into our whole lives that, you know, we are more cautious about our behaviours in many instances than men. And that's really come through very strongly in the survey. The fact that one in or fewer than one in two women feel safe is really concerning for us. And I think that all of us have a role to play in turning that around. Yeah. And I think as mums and dads of young girls, we really need to equip them and empower them to be really strong members of society when they get older, and to have the expectation that they are equal in every way to men. And that's something that all of us can do.
I don't think there's been a scenario in my life where I haven't left another woman and said, text me when you're home.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
It's it's by text me when you're home. It just comes out of your mouth just instantly.
And we put on our locators, you know, we get into a taxi, we put on our WhatsApp locator or whatever we're using so that people can actually see us get home. But we know from even that case last year with the taxi driver that, you know, we do everything we're told to do and we're still not safe. Yeah. So that's a conversation that we have to do. We can see from the research that women feel that. Yeah. And I don't think that we can be truly equal until we feel safe. It's a human right to be safe. But clearly that's not how women feel.
Rachel, how would you define victim blaming? After all of this and talking about like the numbers and the survey, but this is what we actually are here to speak about. Like, what would you define that as?
It's when you think that the victim is partly responsible for the harm that was caused to them. So if you're talking, as we are in this instance, about rape or sexual violence, that they in some way, their behaviour in some way contributed to this happening to them. Mm. And that's, again, going back to what we were saying earlier about reframing it from a victim of sexual violence cannot do anything to avoid being raped. It's the actions of somebody else. And in so many instances, we hear about the woman or man who's experienced sexual violence that they said no, you know, they tried to get away. Or even in the case in France with Gisèle Pelicot, you know, she was in the safest place that she could be. She was in her marital bed and this still happened. So I think that we really need to move the conversation on. I remember the first person who disclosed an experience of rape in Ireland was called Lavinia Kerwick. That was 30 years ago. And she kept on using this phrase about like shame and blame. And still, when you hear people standing on the steps of the court today, they talk about the shame and the blame that they've felt. And we have to accelerate progress. We have to make sure that we're not blaming victims of sexual violence. Yeah. We need to be far beyond that.
Just to reiterate the helplines as well, you can go to rt.ie/helplines. Or like we've said a couple of times in this conversation, Rachel, the Dublin Race Crisis Centre, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 1800 77 8888. Rachel, thank you so much for coming into us today, because it is such an important conversation to have. That was Rachel Morrow, CEO of the Dublin Race Rape Crisis Centre.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.